Okay. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for all you're going to do tonight. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. Thank you for a good shade. Thank you for some moving air. Lord, we just praise you tonight. We send up our praises to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. It's just an awesome experience to know that we have a loving, gracious, merciful God like you that we can learn from and walk in the steps that you walked. Praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight in us. Thank you, Father, for an open heaven. We thank you, Lord, for hearing all of our prayers and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I got two people in the waiting room there. All right, has anybody got a prayer request?
Okay. Yeah, Michael?
Yes.
Victoria got adopted today. Bill and Lisa adopted Victoria. You remember Victoria, my granddaughter, and that whole situation. Yeah. So I'd like to pray for Tanya, my daughter, and for them and for Victoria. Lord, I just pray that that you cover and keep Tanya, even though she doesn't have her daughter with her now. Let her know that you are there for her and that she can come to you. Just draw her close to you more and more each day, that she would follow after you and see that you are the most important thing in her life, that she would be able to handle this whole situation. And Father, I pray that you would help Bill and Lisa to be able to have grace and mercy towards Tanya, recognizing how difficult that's been for her, that they would just bless her where they would be able to have connections the way that you would like, according to your will and your way, Lord God, and that this whole situation, I'm glad that it's done with, but Lord, that the youth services has no more authority over them, either one, and no authority on Victoria anymore. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bless Victoria and she's going to grow in you. I pray that she would grow in you and learn of you more and more, and that they all would be following after you, Bill and Lisa, and Christian even. Oh, Lord, I just lift up Christian and pray that he would change his heart, repent for the error of his ways. Pray for repent of the sin that he's been walking in. Just work on this whole family. This is my household salvation, part of it, in Jesus' name. And I also pray one other thing relating to my household salvation is my brothers and sisters in the flesh, of the flesh. Lord, now I know your word says that there will be some coming against on the households. There'll be some that will come against you and fight against you, and some that will be all right. Well, I just lift up my brother Mark and his wife and my sister Janet. And I don't know about my other brother where he stands, but the opposition that we've got just the other day, I come against those demons that are lying and deceiving them, making them think that what's going on is not truth, Lord. Bring them to a place where they can see the truth and be set free and not be run down by the media. Break the power of you, Satan, you and your evil spirits that would lie and deceive them. I tell you to cease your activities. They are of my household. They belong to me. Therefore, you have to take your hands off of them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Father, for you're going to guide them and lead them and bring them to where they need to be in you. Whatever you have to do to bring them in, Lord, I just pray you do whatever. You know what's best for them. So I thank you, Father, for household salvation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that no more opposition on that side.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your big angels around Victoria that no harm comes to her in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Amen. How old is she now?
10.
She must be about 10.
Yep.
She's 10. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Hi, Tracy.
Good, Deb.
All right.
Yeah, I'd like to share.
Denny, something. I see you. Debbie, Denny, Debbie, somebody.
I wasn't waving enough, he said, so then he waved. But I want to share my niece, Rachel. We prayed for her one of the nights last week, I believe. She was had anxiety really bad, and I found out the doctor had put her on 3 different kind of meds. And she's had anxiety and stuff for a long time, but he finally had her on 3 different kinds of meds, and she got herself off of them. My sister-in-law says she detoxed herself off of them during the lockdown. But then she got a real bad thing going on again, anxiety again. So she allowed the doctor to put her back on a very minimal amount of something. So I just thank everyone for their prayers, because she said she's doing really a whole lot better. But she did get a little bit more, and I just want to continue to pray for total release from this stuff and freedom from this bondage of anxiety and whatever else it is. So, yeah. So I just thank you for answering prayers for Rachel, Lord, and that again, she's doing so much better. And I just pray, Father, that you would bring to her the revelation of who you are and what you can do for her, Father. Lord, that you can totally set her free, Father, that she would desire that from you, Lord. And God, we just continually speak against these the demons attacking her and bringing about this anxiety. And I don't know what else she has with it, if she still experiences depression. But we just bind this anxiety, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that she would really seek you, Lord, and want total deliverance through you. And that she will believe in the work of the cross that you did for her, Lord. And I just thank you for what you've done, Lord, so far. And thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You pray for Kim, too.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Our daughter, Kimberly, also want to pray for her. I think we did pray for her, too.
Yeah.
The kidney infection. And, well, she was supposed to have a stent removed on the 28th. A couple days before that, they found out the second infection is still there. And her blood sugar was way too low. So they couldn't do that, so they gave her another antibiotic. And the thing is, during all this, she lost her job as a DON, but they all like her very much, and they're in contact, and they want her to reapply. So far, the job is still open. So she talked to her doctor. They had to cancel that surgery to remove the stent because of the infection, and they're going to do it soon,
Tuesday.
If the infection is gone, and so we want to pray that infection is gone and this gets removed. And then the doctor said he can okay her to go back to work on Wednesday. She can reapply for the job and get her job back. So she sounded real good and real good spirits, and really appreciates prayer. So, Lord, we lift up Kimberly to you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you, God, that you are using this in her life, Lord. Do it continue to use it, God. Only you, Lord, can move in her thoughts, God, move in her heart, even after this is gone and it's over with and she's got her job back, Lord, that you can still move in her as she thinks on what you've done, Lord, and what got her there, Lord, and what you're doing in her life, Lord. I just thank you, Father. Lord, we just stand against this infection, command it gone in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, God. We thank you when she goes back, it's going to be gone. And we thank you that her blood sugar is already fine, and we thank you for that, God. And thank you, too, God, that she would get her job back if that is your will, Lord. I thank you that she was open to what I said to her, that if it's your will, according to what you're doing in her life, that you will answer that prayer and give her that job back. So, Lord, I just ask you that she would look to you, Lord, in this and trust you for it. We just thank you that you do it in her life, God. Draw her back to you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I saw a deal the other day. I forget what the doctors call himself, but they were in front of the White House, and this lady from Cameroon, who was a physician, I treated 350 patients for COVID-19. 350 of them got well. She had 20 million, they had 20 million hits on that Facebook page, and Facebook took her down. I took down all the people that were utilizing that on their site. So yesterday, or day before yesterday, they came out again and did another one with different physicians in front of the White House. And then they told them, I said, you can take us down again, but we'll be right back up here telling you there is a cure and a preventive measure for this COVID-19. And it's
hydroxychloroquine.
That's what I said. Thank you, Jesus.
I guess it said on Alex Jones that those doctors were going to go talk to Pence and talk to him about it, you know, just talking to him about it. And that she said that a lot of her patients were in their 80s and 90s, and no one died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you mean I sounded like Missy? What does that mean? Go ahead, Barry.
The America's Frontline Doctors Summit.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, America's Frontline Doctors. And it's a group of pretty good, from all over. All of them had treated people for, one of them was a psychiatrist, believe it or not. What he said was this. He said during this shutdown, lockup, all of his patients have gotten worse because of it. Shut in the house, locked in the house, can't do anything. Their anxiety level goes straight out the roof. That's what he was talking about. He said it's bad to do what they're doing. He said it's really not necessary. And they were talking about the masks. They said the masks are not necessary. They said there's a cure. So anyway, we'll see what Trump does. I believe he's fixing to unload on. Yeah, Greg, it has to be a compliment. Sure. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Some of y'all know this, but I'm going to get y'all to agree. I talked to my daughter-in-law today, and she went to a doctor's appointment for, checkup for the baby and all. She's pregnant, and her blood pressure was up. And this is like the third or fourth time, and so they sent her to the hospital. Kurt went along with her and all, and they ran tests, and all her blood work was fine and everything. And a doctor came in and says to her, he laughs, he says, you have white coat syndrome. In other words, she gets nervous, and she knows that's why your blood pressure goes up, but they're being extra cautious and all. But she was telling me that when she was there and they were monitoring the baby's heartbeat, they had one of those bands around it, and it takes the baby's heartbeat. Well, Blake is her name, and she's really active. But anyway, Kurt and Brooke were laughing so hard. She was kicking that monitor. And they had to, and she kept moving around, and they had to keep moving the monitor so they could keep track of her heartbeat. And even the nurses were laughing because she was just all over the place. She was just kicking that monitor. It was like, get it off me, you know. Anyway, so then they, just to be on the safe side, if she would go into labor and she would have high blood pressure, they'd have to do and a cesarean. That's what they say. You know, I know lots of times there's they overreact, I think, with their cesareans and thinking you have to do that. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But she doesn't want a cesarean. So, and they said to her that they scheduled her to induce her on the 8th, which is only a week after the baby shower. And she said she talks to Blake, you know, she says, anytime after the shower, you can come. So she's actually hoping that she actually goes into labor and they don't have to induce her, because she'd rather just go all natural, you know, and not have to have this inducing thing, because they told her it could be as much as 4 hours before she actually goes into labor with the inducer, or it could take a couple days. So we prayed about it and prayed that she would actually go into labor all on her own. And I told her, there's nothing impossible with God. He can do that for you, you know. So I just want y'all to agree with us on that. And Father, I just, you heard Brooke and I pray earlier. And we just ask the Lord that you bring Blake into this, in to be born naturally and not without having to be induced, you know, just get things going after that, so they don't have to induce her, Lord, and that she doesn't have to be in the hospital any longer than necessary. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
When they induce labor, do they give them a chemical of some sort?
Yeah, it's called Pitocin.
Called potatoes.
Pitocin.
A person.
Pitocin. Pitocin. Okay. Right. And I've heard that, you know, when they do that, when your labor gets going, it can give you really, really strong labor that you end up asking for an epidural, because it gets unbearable lots of times. So that's, you know, and so that we just pray, thank you, Lord, that that's not going to happen, that you're going to get it in, you're going to get things going without the help of man, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Baby, you come on out of there in the name of Jesus. When's it due? Right now?
It'll be like 2 weeks early. She's due the 22nd.
Okay.
So, but as of now, you know, generally 37 weeks is safe. You know, they consider that safe. So she's, the first she'll be 37 weeks or whatever.
Okay.
Or the second will be 37 weeks.
Amen. Gonna be a healthy baby and a healthy mama.
Amen. Yes, she is.
All right. Anyone else? Hey, Leah. Missy, you just got off. Go ahead, Claire.
I just feel really led to. I really want to pray for this little baby, for Blake.
Okay.
Father, we know that you have created the human body to do everything it's supposed to do. And we know that you've created that womb for that baby, and that everything will be absolutely perfect, and that that baby will be carried to term, and that no outside forces, whether it's white coat syndrome or intense heat from the summer or fear, will allow that baby to come out before the appointed time. We know that you have knit that baby together in that mommy's womb, and there is nothing that can harm that baby while that baby is safely in there. So we bind the spirits of fear and anxiety and ill advice from doctors. We bind the world's fascination with disempowering a mommy during childbirth. We bind every spirit that negates what the word says about birth. And we bring Blake to you now, and we pray that for this last 3.5 weeks, it is nothing but blessing for that family, that that baby continues to grow and mature, and it hears the word spoken by its mommy and daddy, and that it comes into this world at the exact appointed time and not a second before. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for Blake. We know you have a calling on that little baby's life already. You know exactly what you want to do with that little baby. And we stand in faith that you will not be put to shame. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Missy.
No, I raised my hand by accident.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to hit the chat and I hit the one below it.
Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I also just I wanted to give a praise report, but I also quickly want to pray for Blake. Lord, thank you that you use everything for your good, and that we now can pray for Blake. Lord, we lift him up to you his whole life, that he'll be a great man of God throughout his life, from early on, Lord, all the way through, bringing souls to you and really manifesting Christ. We pray that for him, Lord, and that you will bless him to be a mighty man of God throughout his life. Amen. I just want to give a praise report. I actually, I got the wrong information a bit about my sister's brother-in-law's debt issue. Him and his brother decided to take on his parents' debt. They didn't ask, just in their defense. But luckily, all turned out well. It sounds like they are not going to take any debt, and that they are going to pay the debt off.
Amen.
Yeah, they'll pay it off. His parents are going to, they're going to do a budget and pay it off. So no debt. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. All right, who's next? Yeah, Greg.
Just working the mute button, sorry. Just let me just cover that, Will. I just want to add that, Lord, I would just pray for supply to the parents as well, supernatural supply to clear off that debt to your glory. Kind of on that subject, I'm not quite sure how to pray for this. I worked a bit of it out last night. No, last Saturday I was driving my car back from a seminar, and I knew my radiator was in due for replacement. However, while I was watching the petrol gauge, because I was running a bit tight, the radiator popped, split, and the motor overheated. And now I have a rather large expense to fix the car or replace the car, whichever. It's, you know, it costs as much to replace the car. You know, the repairs are what the car's worth. And yes, so, you know, my daughter has some funds that she said she'd loan me, but I don't really like doing that. Anyway, I'm not quite sure what to pray about that. You know, I've just, as most of you know, I've just got myself into a place of my own after a couple of years. And I kind of see this as a little bit of backlash hitting.
Uh-oh.
I froze up, didn't I?
Yeah. We got you now, though.
It's okay. And also, I need a better connection to the internet as well. Sorry, I don't know how much of that was caught or not.
I Well, we heard that your car broke down and that the expense to fix it is going to be more than the car's worth. And
well, it's about as much as the car's worth, yeah.
Okay. And that's about it.
That's about it, yes. And anyway, look, my daughter has said she'd loan me money to get it done, which is, you know, that covers that, but I'm not really feeling comfortable about borrowing money off my little girl. Which of course I'll pay back as I can. But it's a bit of backlash that seems to be happening after I've, you know, things seem to be picking up. It's a whole lot of what ifs. if this had gone differently, if that had gone differently, I would have had the car fixed, but money didn't come through in time. Before this had happened, I mean, I knew the radiator had to be replaced. But yeah, when it comes to things like this, I'm not quite sure what to pray about it.
Well, let me ask you something, Greg. You say it overheated, the engine overheated?
Yeah.
And did it destroy the engine?
Yeah, basically, the head gasket has popped, and you know, I'm not sure what the, if they have to do with the head gasket.
Okay. What if we pray like this? What kind of car is it?
A Mazda 323.
Okay. Lord, you fixed many of our vehicles. You fixed many vehicles. And in the name of Jesus right now, do y'all have faith to believe that God can do this? Does anybody here have faith to think God can do this? I do. I've seen him do it. Okay, we're going to pray then. Lord, Greg is a man of God's means. And Lord, we thank you for his allegiance to you. We thank you, Father, that he's walking in your steps. And Lord, you've given us authority. You've told we have dominion over everything. You told us that. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus right now, that Mazda 303, I command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you send your angels right now to fix it. Just touch it. Just speak the word and it's gone and it's fixed. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you he's going to have a great testimony to that. I believe, Lord, that you can do anything. I don't put you in the box after seeing you do a lot of things in my life. And I thank you for it, Father. And I command that Mazda 303 to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command it to be better than it was when it was new in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for placing in each and every one of us the faith to believe and to see in our mind that thing running like a brand new car. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Greg. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. I had a guy call me one time. He said, Michael, he said, my van won't back up. He said, the reverse has gone out of it. I said, put your hand on the dash, Bill. He put his hand on the dash. We commanded that thing to work. His transmission, he said it wouldn't go anywhere. Put his hand on the dash. We commanded that thing to go. I said, and then I hung up. He called me back about 2 minutes later. He said, it's working. I said, well, yeah, it's going to work. We prayed, didn't we? That's what's going to happen to yours. You go out there tomorrow when you need it, it's going to work. Amen. I believe it. I mean, if he can create me and you, he can fix that little old car. Ain't no big deal. Only believe. That's right. Only believe. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for the glorious testimony he's going to have tomorrow. What day is this? This is Thursday, Saturday night. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Debbie. Oh, you weren't waving, you was praising God. Okay, good deal. All right, I see. That's fine. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy, number three.
Hey.
Who's counting, huh?
I have all these skeeter bites, and I just command every one of them to quit itching and to heal up and go away in the name of Jesus.
You say skeeter bites or cheddar bites?
Skeeter.
Oh, okay. Amen. We believe in we. Skeeter bites. That's one thing that never bothered me. They could bite me and it wouldn't bother me at all. Chiggers was the one that always got me. Not no more, though. Go ahead, Will.
There's a very important prayer that I want to pray. For all the children in our families. A few years ago, I read Sovereign God, and then you know there was the lost son parable of the lost son that came back. And that represents a person that had to go into the world and really sin, and then would come back to the Lord and be really humbled. And then in that same sentence, David said, if you've been with the Lord your whole life and not really gone away from him, that's fine. But this applies to those that didn't, you know. Then it dawned on me, there are really some really humble Christians that stayed with the Lord throughout their lifetime without really becoming proud, like the other brother. You know, the other brother was jealous of this younger brother that came back. And then I looked through the Bible, then there's, you know, Job had to go through that horrible experience to know what that other younger guy that corrected him, what was his name? He came in and he corrected Job for being self-righteous, but yet he was very young. And he said, I'm young. I apologize for being so young, but it's the Spirit of the Lord that gives wisdom, not only old age. And the follower of Moses, what was his name? Was it... He followed, I don't know what his name was. It's just like there was a spirit of some Joshua. Of the people in the Bible. Sorry?
Joshua.
There's a spirit of some in the Bible that's just been with the Lord throughout their time. There's a sort of humility on them. And I just want to pray that for my family, all the kids, and especially the kids in our families, that they will, if the Lord can fill them with that spirit, that they don't have to bump their heads. I just want to pray that, Lord, I pray for that you'll be merciful upon our families, Lord, that they will know you throughout their lives and still be extremely humble, Lord, that they don't have to go through all the pain and suffering that Job had to go through and some of us had to go through to learn that it is by your spirit alone. Lord, please put that revelation in their hearts supernaturally, Lord, that they will have a less painful experience with you, Lord, and just have an amazing walk with you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Who's next? You have something, buddy? Can't hear you. Okay. Lana asked Tuesday night, I believe, if we couldn't discuss Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Lana, are you there? Can you come and explain what you want to talk about? in that Ephesians 6:1.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I just wondered why there was a difference in the two verses where one addresses parents in the Lord and the other the Father. I don't doubt the answer might be a simple one, but I mean, somebody should light and explain, because the devil's definitely given me a condemnation for what's come between me and my parents to where I stand in faith and where they are in their religion and from the past. So now I just want to have a general understanding so I know
okay.
what to expect of my children biblically, regardless of what my parents.
Okay. All right. Who's first? Y'all understand the question, don't you? Yeah, Leah.
What were the verses? Ephesians 6, I got, but what verses?
One and two.
Can I say my thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've always just thought it meant, like, turning it around. It means children obey in the Lord your parents, not your parents that are in the Lord, or if they're in the Lord, but children obey your Lord. Obey your parents, obey them in the Lord. So, like is unto the Lord. That's what I thought. Correct or not?
Okay. Yeah, Pat.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to unmute. The Lord has kind of throwing some things in on me here in the last few weeks, but one of the things that has been bouncing around in my mind, and that is, and this scripture kind of points to it. One thing, I know that the scripture, the summation of all of the scripture is true. And obviously that means that various different scriptures all add together and provide a fuller revelation of truth. But I think it also has to do in maturity, not in maturity, but as we grow with the Lord, we start to, our perspective changes, obviously, from we pull more and more and farther away from an earthly perspective and shift over to a heavenly perspective. And so many of the scriptures can mean almost, there's more than one application. It can, in a certain time in our life, it can have a certain application. And other times in our life, it can have other applications. So I think what I was thinking about this particular scripture is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then there is the difference there, or there's the differentiation of honor thy father and mother. But so there's two commandments, kind of. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, but honor your father and your mother. And I think I guess what I'm thinking is that you can have fathers. You can have parents in the Lord that have brought you through, brought you into the kingdom, brought you into the awareness of the truth of God. And there's there is a little more reverence and submission, I guess, to those parents in the Lord that are godly, that bring you through into helping you walk with the Lord, helping you know the Lord, helping you, counseling you, etc. And this may be pushing it a little bit too far, but there's a certain, I guess, requirement, maybe a personal requirement, to heed those words and that direction coming from your parents in the Lord and give them more weight than you say you would your earthly father and mother. However, God says to honor your father and mother, and that the example, as I was kicking this about, I wasn't really kicking this scripture about, I was kicking some other things around, and that is knowing the difference between submission. God tells us to submit to the authorities that he places in our lives. And what is the difference between submission and obedience? And I was thinking of the children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who got tossed in the flames. And the interesting thing that I believe I saw there was that they weren't, because I've heard it mentioned or something, that you obey, submit, and obey those in your authority until they tell you to do something that's obviously wrong, and then you reject it, and then you have the right to rebel against that, so to speak. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel and his examples there, they were under the submission of the authority that they were under, the king and that whole system. And they were under that submission, but when it came to a time, there were certain decisions that they made, they chose to disobey. So what was the difference between their being disobedient or in rebellion and being in submission? And that the difference is, at least one of the differences, they were under submission even when they disobeyed the king. Because when they disobeyed, they clearly stated the facts, I'm not going to obey you in this situation. And because now they didn't pull out a gun and start fighting and beating up on the guards or anything like that. But no, because they were under submission, and they were really willing to receive the consequences of that disobedience before God. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Well, it doesn't matter. Basically, it doesn't matter what you say. We don't need a lot of time to think here. We're not going to obey that." But yet they were under submission to that. They broke the rules and were willing to accept the consequences for it. And of course, God redeemed them through that process. So there's a certain, I think, in my opinion, there's a certain perspective that God tells us to honor our mother and our father. And many of us grew up with mothers and fathers which were not Christian, didn't know anything about God. But God worked through those parents to do whatever he needed to do in our lives, my life, to bring me to where I was at right now. Now, obviously, even when I became a Christian and talked to my dad about it, he clearly thought I was off my rocker. But it doesn't matter. So that's kind of like the thought I had relative to children obey your parents in the Lord. There seems to be a distinction there. Honor your father and mother, for that's the first commandment with promise. So just my thoughts.
Okay. Lana, correct me if I'm wrong. Gently. you're talking about the relationship between you and your parents, aren't you?
I am, and I'm also thinking about my relationship with my children.
Okay, that's two different types there.
Yeah.
So let's deal with the kids first, and then we'll get into your deal there. All right. Anybody want to handle the kids' obedience thing? First thing we need to know, bring up the kids in the way of the Lord. And what does the Lord say about it? Spare the rod, you spoil the child. You have to have a mechanism in place for discipline. However, how you choose to do it. I use taser, ball bat, whatever, you know. But I'm just kidding. But you do have to have, because that little kid that looks like he's a little baby now grows up. And if you don't have some kind of mechanism in place to discipline that child every time that he's in rebellion, he will be in rebellion as an adult. So you must have discipline in the house. We all look at Johnny. He's just having a good time over there, smacking Uncle Sam. You know, well, he'll smack Uncle Sam when he's 16 too, if you allow him to do it. What I'm saying is this: bring up the child like the Lord said to bring him up. Use the rod when it's necessary. Don't hurt him. I mean, just make sure he understands that he's not to do that, or she, whatever, is not supposed to do that. And you bring him up in the Lord, and they'll be in the Lord. Now, has anybody else got something they'd like to? I'll tell you something else. Can I say this? If there is, and I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody or anything, if there is a meeting of adults going on and that child is distracting the adult's conversation, discipline is needed. Does anybody not agree with that? That's, you know, even I was brought up that the adults are the adults and the children are supposed to be children, and they are to submit to mom and dad. And mom and dad has to utilize the authority that God has given them to bring that child up in a nice disciplinarian way. I was brought up, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Use the right fork, all of that stuff. But I'm telling you, you bring them up the right way, and they won't be in rebellion when they get out. Go ahead, Lana.
interesting that you should mention discipline, because I actually saw a discussion about the spanking today, and they were using the Bible to prove that spanking is no good. And one of the things that they used is Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, where the verse about the rod is found. Well, take a look at his kids, is what they say. And I wanted to mention that that's not the point. But people are just twisting it and turning it in order to do the anti-spanking thing. And I'm just like, since when did you all get so smart to start dissecting the Word of God so well that all of a sudden something he said that has been followed for ages is no longer relevant and is abusive and whatever else they put. But I just thought it interesting that you bring it up, and I was actually observing such a discussion online today, and I just thought, man, people, you've got it wrong. Give it 10 more years.
That's exactly right. If you don't spank them now, I've got a daughter that believes that, and she was up under me, and she knows I had a respectifier, and it worked. A respectifier is a paddle about this long with a hole in it, so it doesn't create a pneumatic padding that the air goes right straight through the paddle and you get the full blunt of the paddle. And she understood that, but she's bringing her children up that way until they get to papaw's. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, if you don't discipline your children, you don't ever correct them when they interrupt with adults and everything we're talking about. I've seen it. That child grows up to be very disrespectful. Very disrespectful in what they say and their attitude and everything. And they have this thought that or this attitude, this demeanor that, you know, that everything, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
That the world owes them 11.
You owe them. That you owe them, you know, that they just take advantage of you in every respect. It's horrible. I've seen it.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter if a child's been brought up in quote-unquote church. You know, too many parents let other people bring their children up, teach them things, supposedly things of the Lord. And too many children respect other people's opinion rather than their parents, because their parents haven't taught them. And they're taught to go to other people and listen to what they have to say about something, because they've been taught and brought up in the Lord, supposedly, by other people and not their own parents. Just had to say that.
Well, that's true. Okay, since we know now how to bring them up, is there any questions, Lana? Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that as I observe such conversations about the discipline, I'm finding that it's coming from two extremes where it's more about the parents abusing their authority in this discipline, and so they get children who are against it. Or the other version is, we're so smart and we've got doctorates and we've got biblical theories and psychological or psychiatric theories that it's wrong. And yet they're all on the same side of the coin because they want to deny the Bible. And thank God we're simple people and he's able to reveal these truths to us. And we use them with a clear mind and a good heart toward our children. And it works regardless of what they say.
Okay. Now let's go to the next subject, which is an adult obeying their parents. Anybody got any thoughts on that? remember what happened. I'll just throw this out there. Remember what happens when you get married. Go ahead, Will.
When you said an adult obeying their parents, yeah, that's an awesome topic for me tonight. Being that I moved back under my parents' roof 10 years ago, being free for 10 years before that, and then I had to move back in, I'm not quite sure where to stop and where to start, because it became very invasive, the submission thing, you know, what I wear, what beard if I should have a beard or not, the way I wear my hair, you know, it became extremely invasive. And I understood it that I still had to obey in certain respects, you know, and I just want to know, when is one free? It was a hard trial for me. Maybe I was obeying without the fact that I just definitely didn't need to obey such things anymore, you know. So maybe it will be good to know as an adult, where does it start and where does it end?
Amen. Well, I don't know what kind of relationship people have with your father. When I was living with my father, which I got out when I was turned 18, went to school and then went to the Navy, and then got married. After that, I got married. But when I was under his roof, father was the king. Now, we had conversations together, but if he was footing a bill, I lived under his roof. I did what he asked me to do, out of respect for him. Now, if there's something else going on, that's a different thing, you know. So, you know, Will, I'm not sure the relationship you have with your father, but you want to try to respect him and his opinions, and hopefully he'll respect you with your opinions, and y'all can come to agreements on whatever things it is that you might have disagreement about. But in the end, you know, like I said, if I don't know how your situation is, but if I'm living with my father and he's footing the bill, I'm going to do what he asked me to do. And I may be off base of where you're talking about. You may have a partnership with your dad, and that's fine too. A partnership is a partnership. You come to an agreement. Okay, George, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of approach both of them the same way. I make sure that my children and my parents both, I don't want to do anything that would go against their conscience. I want them to be responsible for their own conscience and keep their conscience with the Lord as their personal goal in life. I taught my children how to repent when they've sinned or made mistakes or felt grieved or couldn't find peace. So I've led them to repentance, showed them in the Bible where they can be restored when they defile their conscience. And when it deserved a spanking to drive the point home, we came to an agreement that there was a penalty for sin and there was a penalty for going beyond the bounds of the rules or whatever that we've set to help protect their life and their conscience as they've grown. And it's like the Bible says that God, he leads with his eyes, like he can guide his children by just a glance. He doesn't have to, at some point, he doesn't have to reach out and smack them because he's already gained that preeminence of authority. And when he just gives that little glance, he can straighten them out and get them back on the path. And I find that that's fortunately where I am with my children. We all, you know, from 21 to 10 years old are still under one roof, and they've never bucked up. They've never got in fights with each other, to, you know, beyond just hurting each other's feelings or something. But even with my parents, I think it helps my children to see that to honor my parents, even when I don't agree with them, and not to agree with sinful behavior or words that don't line up with the Bible. I don't have to laugh at those jokes or come into agreement with the spirit that they are of, but I hold a standard that is not judging but in love. And they know that both my parents and my children know that my greatest heart's desire is to see them saved and to see them living for the Lord, and that my hope and my belief is that they would be the best Christians ever if they would sell out for the Lord and take that offer of salvation. And they're not there yet, but by faith they're saved. So for my children to see me honoring my parents, when she first brought this subject up, the Lord told me it's reaping and sowing, that if we sow honor to our parents, then we'll reap that same harvest with our own children. And, you know, I guess that's just what I had out of all that. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, George. Couldn't have said it better myself. That was good. That was good. Grace. Lots of grace. All right. Anyone else? Well, Lana, did that answer your question?
I think so. Thank you so much for that.
Okay. All right. I will say this. If you're in a marriage and your parents come against your marriage, then, you know, there's a line that you can draw. But you do it in grace and love. Lots of grace and lots of love. Like George said, you reap what you sow. Okay. We got some songs to sing. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me get this going here. Yes.
Michael?
Yeah, Joe?
Can I ask a quick question before you get on there, please?
If it's not too hard, Joe, yes, you can. What's the question?
You're muted, Joe.
Acts 2:13. It was just said, why is it new wine? But why was mocking the people that says, why is it just people speaking tongues? But why do they call it just new wine and not just wine? Is it just for intersex? Do you know anything about that? The specific about new wine?
I bet we got somebody that does. Go ahead, Barry.
New wine is still alcoholic, but probably during the season that this occurred, new wine was what was available. Since it's seasonal, and since new wine comes along at a certain time of the year, it must have been that time of the year. That's my guess.
Okay, Joe, you got it, but straight from the horse's mouth. Or Mary's mouth. Excuse me, Mary. I didn't insinuate. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, well, to actually say more about that, what new wine would be is they just finished harvesting the grapes and they made the wine, but they still might have some wine from last year, which will be the better wine. And if they have wine even older than that, it would have been better wine. So it was probably during the season of harvest and they made the wine. So it is still alcoholic. The old wine's better though. So I don't know.
Okay, Dave.
Is that way they're saying they're drinking cheap wine?
I don't know. I wouldn't know nothing about that.
Well, it would certainly be more available because it's brand new. It's made, you know, so. The other batches would have been drunk like in the summer, just before the harvest, you would have had a very high alcoholic content wine because the grapes weren't ready for the new wine. So come around, I don't know, August, because September is probably when they picked the grapes and made the new wine, that the old wine, you have 11-month-year-old wine now. So next month it's going to be cheaper, but this wine that's 11 months old is going to be more expensive. I don't think there was this fermenting thing that they have nowadays as much as they have it now, where they store it. But it could be that it was, you know, too. I don't know. I don't know what history says about that. Obviously, it's 2,000 years ago, so.
I would say whatever. They weren't really giving them a compliment when they were talking about them drinking the wine, that's for sure.
That's right. Okay. Anybody else? That answer your question, Joe.
Yeah, I would just interest me because the only one in the New Testament, but only Jesus is talking about new wine and all New Testament. There's only him talking about it. It just interests me.
Yeah, well, that also depends on the context of the verse too, right? Because sometimes new wine.
Yeah. No, Jesus was talking about put the new wine in the old skin. Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Greg says Tracy's going to sing for us. Go ahead, Tracy. What you going to sing, girl? That's what I thought. Okay. Let me Greg up to his old antics here. All right, we're gonna start this out here. Let me get the thing shared here. Give me a minute here, something not working right. Okay. They've changed the format of YouTube where the search thing is gone. And I can't just type it in up there. So anyway.
I came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I turned to you, put everything behind me, and found the God who makes all things new. I look.
I want to stop that. Can y'all see just the song, or is it a lot of black in there around it?
It's a lot of black around it.
A lot of black around it. It's like it's not fully extended or something.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing too. I don't know, understand what's going on here. Okay, let me go out of it and come back in. I did that on that last one too. There used to be a, I don't know where all these ads coming from. I'm not sure. All right, y'all just give me a second here. I got to figure this out. Okay, I don't know what that is. Let me go out and come back in. Mm-hmm. There we go. Now let's see what happened. Found the God. How's that?
With healing in his hand.
Perfect.
Sorry about that.
I turn to you, put everything behind me, and found the God who makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. From you and wandered in the shadows and found a God grace still covers me. I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I've worshipped you and felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Yep, I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God. My searching, God, you are my answers. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom.
Come on, get on down.
Oh, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at these nail scars here in my hand. Up the hill, Thomas, I am the man. They made me carry my cross, Thomas, I am the man. Oh, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at these nail scars here in my hand. Crown my head with thorns, Thomas, I am the man. They nailed me to the cross, Thomas, I am the man. Oh, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at these nail scars here in my hand. Pierce me inside, Thomas, I am the man. On the cross I died, Thomas, I am the man. Oh, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars. They band me in the tune, Thomas I and the man. In 3 days I hold Thomas I and the man. Oh, I and the man, Thomas I and the man. Look at these nail scars in my hand. Oh, I and the man, Thomas I and the man. Look at these nail scars in my hand.
Man, I like that one. Okay.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen.
hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
My Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Haven't seen, and ears haven't heard the kind of blessings, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Shout it loud, I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. Eyes haven't seen, and ears haven't heard the kind of blessings, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Victory is here. Woo! Get defeat out the door. God's doing a new thing. Yeah. Get ready for overflow. 'Cause I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready to see.
Hey,
something I've never seen.
It's real easy. Say,
I'm getting ready.
worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in a mist. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Hey, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Light in the darkness, that is who you are. Hey, Waymaker, miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. You wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, to it all, Jesus. Yeah. Way make, miracle worker, promise keeper, light. I worship you. You are here meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, de motion de amazeke ame.
pause and sing. The Rock of Ages, but he's a friend to me. The Rock of Ages, but he's a friend to me.
There you have it. I think I only was able to, I didn't get Greg's in, and I'll do that next time.
That Cody Johnson song, I posted the link, but it was when he was in the church, and he had like a 2:15 testimony intro to it. That's why I said pick it at the 2:15, but it's at the church setting. Yeah, you're fine. You're good.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, well, that's okay. All right. Anybody got any prayers before we check out tonight? Prayer request. Lord, we just ask that you receive this praises from us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Give us some dreams and visions, Lord, about the things that are fixing to happen, Lord, and warnings that we need to be praying against. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that for all of us. Guide us, Lord, and direct our ways. Set a watch before our lips. Help us to get rid of the flesh, Lord. Help us to get rid of everything that's not of you. Father, I ask right now that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit. So much so that there's nothing left but you, Lord, that we're gone and Jesus is alive. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. Good night, y'all. Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bless you.
Bye.
Love you. Bless you.
Bless everybody.
Good night. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodiles.
Amen.
Y'all,
okay.
Y'all be blessed.
You be blessed too.
Good night, everyone.
Yep. So long.